You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning starts now.
It is Thursday, June 8th, 2017, and this is the Roto Experts in the Morning, alongside the fantasy executive Corey Parson, the King Scott Angle, and TTM Baseball's Matt Modica. My name is Greg Sussman. Happy Thursday to you all. We have a fun program today, along with the normal baseball headlines and, of course, the football information. It is we have some hearings we have to get to today. Fortunately, folks, you know, it's been a tumultuous offseason that we are still involved in. Kickoff is not until another 3 months or so away. So, given what's going on in the state of fantasy football, given that we here at the Roto Experts are the Fantasy Football Oversight Committee, I think it's extremely important to call in a few. We've subpoenaed a few players on the record. They cannot tell a lie. And to figure out the truth about certain players today. So we will be having Fantasy Football Oversight Committee hearings this morning on the Roto Experts. Corey, how do you feel about that?
This is going to be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. Obviously, we have a, you know, we got some people that we got some questions that need to be answered. We need to get to the bottom of certain situations, you know, want to find out what's really going on in fantasy football. So it's going to be interesting. What players do we have?
So we have subpoenaed. I know the media is
here. Who have we subpoenaed?
I know the media is here watching. It's an open session.
Yes.
So everybody can watch. Coming into our committee to speak, to testify today, is Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh, okay.
He's in the house. Julio Jones.
Oh, boy.
Is in the house. Marshawn Lynch will be here today.
Oh, boy.
Devontae Booker.
Uh-oh.
Will be here today. Keenan Allen.
Oh.
Will make an appearance, testify. And finally, Russell Wilson.
Oh, boy.
Will testify.
You better celebrate Russell and Marshawn
Russell
down there in the green room.
Wilson will testify in front of the Fantasy Football Oversight Committee.
Oh, boy.
This morning. Scott Angle, how are you, sir?
Good morning. How are you today, Mr.
Director,
Sussman?
Director Angle today.
Director Angle indeed. How are
The Honorable Matt Modica is here.
Matt Modica, how are you, sir?
Oh, I'm doing well. I had a nice draft last night, one of the first real high stakes ones of my season.
Yep.
I'm a little upset, though, that in the courtroom today we don't have like, what's his name? Sosa, you know. Remember when they were at
Sammy Capitol Sosa?
Yeah, Sammy Sosa.
Yes.
I just want somebody to tell me that they can't speak English. Like that.
Everybody here can speak English.
Yeah. No, Matt, do you think that given that you and I are both on this oversight committee, that we will have extreme varying opinions when we speak to the our people testifying today?
Yeah, no, I like it. I assume that I am the chairman of this committee because
sure.
Certain parties in power right now. So
yes. You are the chairman. I would say I'm the lead chairman of the other side.
Yes.
That's fair to say. Okay.
Ranking member.
Ranking member, exactly. We have our Fantasy Football Oversight Committee hearings. They begin next on the Roto Experts. Could you get some order here, please, inside the Studio 34. I don't know why we have directors dancing. We have Oversight Committee hearings here.
And I don't care.
You don't care the Oversight Committee hearings. We are trying to discover if we have an obstruction of drafting.
Look, just because everybody on the panel can't dance, not my problem.
Again, this is a hearing. This is not just a morning show. This is a hearing that we're having this morning. And it's extremely important to take this seriously.
I am taking it seriously.
If necessary, I will throw Scott off this committee.
Mr.
If necessary, you can try. You may not succeed.
Again, so we have Director Angle here. We have the chairman of our oversight committee, Matt Modica, here.
And I am the ranking member of the committee, Greg Sussman. Mr. Chairman, may you please call in our first testimony here.
It'll be Odell Beckham Jr.
Odell Beckham Jr., sir. We appreciate you coming in. We appreciate the opportunity. We appreciate the time. Do you swear to tell the truth? So help you God.
I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I would like to start off by saying I'm happy to be here in front of you, fine gentlemen, today for these hearings. I don't know why I was called up here. Obviously, I've had a pretty good career. I think I've done fantasy owners very well in my time of knowing them and being assets to their team. So just kind of curious why I'm here, but I definitely respect the committee, and I'm interested in getting it started.
Mr. Chairman? Are you doing the time? Are you giving the time out to somebody first?
I'll go first.
Sure.
I'll go first. I understand this is a big upcoming year for you, contract talks and all that. I know you want to get paid. But my first question would be, why are you hanging out with the likes of Manziel and Bieber?
Well, I've known Johnny Manziel since our years in college. We went to some football camps together back in the days, and you know, throughout our times of hanging out in, you know, places like Miami and Las Vegas, we've become friendly. I know Mr. Manziel has his off the field issues. I don't entertain none of that stuff. I would like to say that Mr. Manziel is now, he's engaged, he's about to get married, he's maturing as a person. So, and not that nothing that I'm doing. I know Manziel has a history, but I'm just you know, hanging out, having fun while I'm young.
Are you fully committed to this upcoming season?
I am 100% fully committed. Your Honorable Matt Modica, 100% fully committed to the New York Giants and to fantasy owners for this upcoming season.
I'll pass it off to the ranking member.
I appreciate that, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Beckham.
Yes.
Thank you for being here. I do have several questions here. The chairman asked you about hanging out with John Manziel, and you mentioned Miami. You mentioned L.A. I noticed one place you did not mention was New York. Why have you not been in New York through the rest of your team?
Well, I obviously New York is where my teammates are at. I just, you know, voluntary off-season, you know, organized training activities. I've done them throughout my career. I have no problem. Obviously, the playbook remains the same this year. You know, I'm well-versed in the offense. Obviously, I have a good connection with Eli Manning. Now we bring in a piece like Brandon Marshall. I think it's interesting. But, you know, I will be in New York to go for training camp, and I'll be with my teammates, and I'll be looking forward to the upcoming season.
Mr. Beckham, I have to be honest with you. That answer is not good enough for me. You see, you have somebody that has tweeted out that this is going to be your best season. I don't have the exact tweet in front of me. I'm sure you remember what you said. You specifically said you going to right your wrongs, and you're going to be smarter. You're going to be better. And, quote, we ain't seen nothing like this before, unquote. Now, your general manager, Jerry Reese in New York, has said you need to mature. Basically, you need to mature in order to get paid. You are not showing up as some sort of contract demand, I assume, and this is the opposite, I believe, of what your general manager was talking about. How do you expect to get paid when you don't show up?
Well, I understand, Mr. Sussman, what you're saying, but sometimes I think the liberal media can get these things pretty twisted up as far as what goes on social media and stuff like that. But no, I am fully committed, and I'm going to be with my teammates, and obviously a big contract is what I'm looking for. I want to be paid like the top wide receiver in the NFL, because I feel I am the top wide receiver in the NFL. As far as maturity issue goes, listen, you know, I think I'm pulling it together pretty good. I think I'm doing very well to be 24 years old. You know, I'm living my life. I don't see where I'm a disappointment in as far as maturity.
Sir, you're blaming the liberal media. You yourself retweeted Adam Schefter yesterday in regards to the contract tweet.
Yes, I have a team of PR people that handle.
So you're blaming your PR people?
I'm not blaming them. I have a team of PR people that handle my social media accounts.
Are you blaming your teammate? Are you blaming your teammates too if things don't go right?
No,
you take them to Miami, sir?
The Miami thing was something that we all decided as a group, a team outing for bonding purposes. So I'm not blaming anyone or throwing them under the bus, but just my PR team, sometimes they can get a little too loose with the retweet button.
Mr. Chairman, I'm okay for now. Thank you.
I'm going to interject real quick, and then I will hand it over to Scott. One, you are supposed to be a leader of your team. Two, you were the fourth wide receiver taken off the board yesterday. How do you feel about that?
I feel like I want to be the first wide receiver taken off the board. I know Antonio Brown and Julio Jones have been done very well for fantasy owners, but I feel as if I'm the top talent when it comes to fantasy. Obviously, you've seen me last year just under 1,400 yards, 105, you know, 105 receptions. I had 10 total receiving touchdowns. I feel like, you know, I can compete with the best. I wish I was going off the board higher, Mr. Chairman.
I'll turn the floor over to Director Engel.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Beckham, good to see you. I find a little bit unusual when you talk about your committing your team to be wearing a cowboy shirt, but we'll let that go as an oversight. I do like your Astros hat today. Let me ask you this. You talk about maturity, yet some recent photos of you getting a tattoo have surfaced. How do you explain this? This is not exactly the best example of maturity.
Well, Mr. Director, tattoos are, you know, something that young athletes do. It's, you know, a way I like to express,
show expression. The part of the body in which you exposed this was a little questionable, I would say, for professional.
Well, I direct the angle. I understand what you're saying. I feel as if, you know, my life's kind of an open book. I want to invite my fans and my followers and fans of the New York Giants, you know, into my personal life. And, you know, maybe sometimes, you know, the guys take the pictures and put them out on social media. They can get a little bit carried away. But it's all in good fun.
Did you put that out on social media?
No, I did not put that out on social media. One of my friends.
So you're blaming your team again.
I'm not blaming my team, Director Engel. That's not what I'm here to do.
Okay. Are you holding anyone accountable on your team?
I hold myself accountable, Mr. Madika. Honorable Mr. Madika, I hold myself accountable. Director Engel, as far as the tattoo and the photo goes, I got the tattoo done. The photo was taken. The buddy was like, "Hey, let's tweet it out." I said, "Fine, no problem." I do understand
fine,
now.
Fine, no problem. Yes. It's okay to expose this part of my body to the public.
Well, I think we live in a society now where, you know, body parts and gender and stuff like that, you know, I think that we live in a part of, you know.
Be careful, Mr.
And a time. I'm not saying anything
right,
like
let,
that.
Let's move on to another subject. Now, Josh Norman, you know, his team has talked about having him one-on-one with coverage. And, you know, you and Mr. Norman have a history. If you're going to mature this year, how are you going to be able to handle it, you know, when he trash talks you and gets under your skin, you know, this year twice?
Well, obviously one of those games being on Thanksgiving night, definitely looking forward to that. But Mr. Norman has not been able to, you know, he's one of the top corners in the league, but Mr. Norman cannot handle the kind of talent and the skill I possess in a one-on-one situation. Mr. Norman will definitely go down. Mr. Norman, I hate to bring him up and talk about him, but he's a clown. He's an average NFL cornerback, and I have no problem going up against him. I look forward to it. I know we've had our issues in the past.
Mr. Beckham, you're trying to present yourself as a mature person, and you're up here on this panel calling an opposing player a clown.
Director Engel, well, Mr. Norman has taken a lot of shots at me. He's always has my name in his mouth, and I think sometimes it's fair that I am allowed to express myself back.
Two wrongs do not make a right, Mr.
Well,
Beckham.
Well, Director Engel, if you would give me an opportunity, I would show you that things are going to change. It's not going to be no more on the field type activity or off field type activities between myself and Mr. Norman. I've more or less decided to ignore him.
Director Engel, your time is running up, so wrap it up, please. And I'm going to ask the ranking member if he has another question.
All right, real quick, last one for you. You now have Brandon Marshall, and you know you got Shepard, and you got the rookie tight end. Are we going to see less catches from you this year because Eli Manning will have more targets?
I'd still direct to think that I am good for 95 plus receptions this upcoming season. I'm the best player on the team.
Thank you, Director Engel. Ranking Member Sussman, do you have any further questions?
Yeah, my follow-up question is, Director Engel brought up, Mr. Beckham, your feud with Josh Norman, and you have been fined more than any player in the NFL for on-the-field activities. You have been suspended for a game for what you did on the field. How should fantasy football owners know you're going to play 16 games this year and you let your emotions get the best of you?
I've definitely been working on getting my emotions in check.
With Johnny Manziel?
Well, Johnny Manziel, I'm not with Johnny Manziel every day, Mr. Sussman. Johnny Manziel is not like somebody who I'm with every day. But I think we saw last year that we saw some maturity. Yes, as we got deeper into the season, the playoffs, you know, things got a little bit more intense. But I plan on being there for my fantasy owners in the New York Giants every Sunday.
We're going to take a break here from our Oversight Committee hearings. We'll see if we have the committee has any more questions for Mr. Beckham, and we'll see if we have an obstruction of drafting. Stick around. The Roto Experts Oversight Hearing Committee continues after this. The Roto Experts in the Morning is on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. This is actually the Roto Experts Fantasy Football Oversight Committee. Hashtag Fantasy Football Oversight Committee. That's what we're using on Twitter. Make sure you are using it as well. Hashtag Fantasy Football Oversight Committee. Odell Beckham is here testifying before us. We are trying to discover if there is an obstruction of drafting, a reason that, given what we know about Mr. Beckham and Mr. Beckham's answers, if we should not be drafting him in his correct draft slot, given the talent that he has. Mr. Beckham has answered questions from all of us on the committee. We have the our chairman, Mr. Modica. We have our director, Mr. Engel, and myself, the ranking member of this committee, Mr. Sussman. Mr. Chairman, I hand it back over to you.
Just a quick one here. I know you just got paid by Nike. You were the highest football player for a shoe deal, which congratulations for that.
Thank you,
Ed. I have heard, I would like some confirmation, though, that you will be reporting to mandatory. I know this was voluntary, but mandatory is coming up. Will you be in camp?
Mr. Chairman, when we start our mandatory training camp, I will be there. There will be no holdout. I will be there with my teammates.
Ranking member?
I give up the rest of my time.
Okay, director?
I have no further questions.
Okay, so my one last question to you before, and we thank you for coming in today, is, are you better than Mike Evans?
I would say that I'm a better player than Mike Evans. I would say that, and I think Mike Evans is a great player also. I'm a better player than him. I think his offense is very dynamic, so is mine. He's the lead target on his offense, so am I. But I just look at my skill set and my trust and faith in myself and what I plan on doing this upcoming season. I think the proof is in the pudding that I am the best wide receiver in the NFL.
Well, I want to thank you for your time. Before we excuse you today, I want to let you know that I have invested in you in two cash leagues. I'm expecting maturity on the field this year.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I will definitely bring that.
We thank you for your time. I believe there's no further questions.
Yes, sir. Now, as ranking member, I need to ask my chairman of this committee and a director of this committee, do you find Mr. Beckham guilty in obstruction of drafting? I understand this is a fuller fantasy football community charge to bring up, and ultimately the fantasy football expert group will decide this. But between the three of us here, do you find Mr. Chairman, Mr. Beckham, guilty of obstruction of drafting?
Before we start, though, what, for the listeners, too, what are we defining as obstruction of drafting here?
Basically, obstruction of drafting would be Odell Beckham Jr. is somebody that I believe should be a top six player, right? Like, you have your three running backs. You have Antonio Brown, you have Mike Evans, and you have Odell Beckham, right? Like, I think those are pretty clearly the top six players.
What about Julio?
I thought Julio would be after them, personally. Maybe if you want to consider top seven players, all right, fine. There's a clear top seven. Whatever order you want, I don't want to argue the order. That's not the point of these hearings. To me, obstruction of drafting means, for whatever reason, he drops farther than that top seven. If we're agreeing that those are the top seven. Is Odell Beckham's answers going to force us to drop him past the top seven in this regard? For each player, it's a little bit different, obviously, considering their draft stock. We're trying to figure out if their draft stock is going to drop, basically be obstructed by something that's happened this offseason. That's what we're looking for here. So, Mr. Chairman, do you find Mr. Beckham guilty of obstruction of drafting?
I find Mr. Beckham innocent. We need Mr. Beckham on that field. I want Mr. Beckham on that field. And I believe Mr. Beckham will be on that field.
Mr. Director?
Now, I just want to say that I don't think anything that Mr. Beckham said here today is going to change my mind on his decision, on my decision. He has not shown to me today that he has matured at all. He called an opponent a clown. He actually said, I'm the best player on my own team. So he has not matured. That said, though, I do find him innocent because I believe Mr. Beckham has been able to still put up excellent fantasy numbers despite his lack of maturity. So I do find him innocent. I feel like a lot of what he said today was actually a waste of time and would not affect my decision.
Ultimately, in regards to Mr. Beckham, he has been this way throughout his 3 years here in the National Football League, and he's done nothing but been successful. He's missed time in camp before due to nagging injuries. The fact that he's healthy now is more important to me than showing up to voluntary minicamp. He obviously has quite a connection with Eli Manning. So given what I've seen in the past, I will also find Mr. Beckham innocent of obstruction of drafting, and you may step down, Mr. Beckham. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Mr. Director, thank you.
We appreciate that.
Whatever.
Mr. Chairman, who is next to face our committee?
Next up will be one Julio Jones. I do see Mr. Marshawn Lynch has entered the room, but he's got a bag of Skittles in his mouth, so we got to hold on for that. So Mr. Julio Jones will come up.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, who's going first here?
I will let you go, ranking member.
Mr. Jones, appreciate your time.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Sussman.
Now, Mr. Jones, I need to start off by, you just walked into the room and I noticed you were limping a bit. Your foot has been an issue ever since you entered the NFL. You had surgery in this offseason, once again, on this foot. You hurt it last year. You took off a couple games, which I admired your team for doing, given their status atop of the National Football Conference. And here you are. We're now in June, and you are still limping. Is that correct?
Well, yes. I had a little limp. I wasn't expecting on being called in here today. Still in the rehab process, but obviously recuperating, feeling much better now with my foot. Obviously, we played a very long season. We played all the way into February, so that pushed the time back for me having the procedure done on my foot, but I've been given clearance. I've been told by my physicians, by the team doctors, that I'll be ready to go for training camp and, more importantly, for week one.
Sir, you have played 16 games just twice in your career. Why should fantasy football owners trust you with a top 7 draft pick?
Well, because when I'm on the field, I think it's obvious. We've seen close to 1,800 yards last year, more seasons similar to that. Once again, over 100 receptions.
So you had 1,400 yards last year.
I was including my playoff statistics also. I'm sorry about that. Like I said, I played in more games than everybody else. But, even when I feel as if I had one season where I let fantasy owners down, where I went out and I was placed on the IR, I think that's pretty good track record given the fact of some other players. Obviously, when I'm on the field, I'm in a top offense. I'm a top talent. And the foot will not be a problem.
Sir, what do you say to those fantasy owners that say so much of your value came from just a couple of games last year? You had obviously a marvelous 12-reception, 300-yard game during week 4 of the NFL season last year, which, again, absolutely tremendous, and I give you all the credit in the world for that. But you also had games as a number 1 wide receiver, as a number 7 overall draft pick potentially here in 2017, a game where you had one catch for 16 yards in New Orleans, a place where offense is at a premium and people are scoring nonstop. You had one catch for 16 yards. Just a couple weeks later in Denver, you had two catches for 29 yards. A couple weeks later in home against Green Bay, in a game where 33 points were scored by your team, sir, you had three receptions for 29 yards. How do you explain this? As a number one wide receiver, your owners expect better.
Well, obviously, when you're the top team in the NFC, it means that it's just one, more than one, just dominant player. The way the offense was set up, I am able to, sometimes if a team wants to take me out of the game, we're not going to force the issue. We still have players like Mr. Gabriel and Devonta Freeman and Tevin Coleman, who also can get the job done. So it's not a must that I go off every game. Sometimes, if a team wants to put coverage over the top, that's kind of on Matt Ryan and the offensive coordinator, who last season was Kyle Shanahan, if they're going to force feed me the football. As far as I'm concerned, no, I always want the football on every single play. That's the kind of wide receiver that I am.
Sir, you mentioned Kyle Shanahan just a moment ago, your offensive coordinator. You mentioned last year close to 1,800 yards, including the playoffs. The year before, in Kyle Shanahan's offense, you had over 1,800 yards. Again, just fantastic job by you. Kyle Shanahan is no longer employed by the Atlanta Falcons. He is in San Francisco. You have Steve Sarkisian now as your offensive coordinator, and Mr. Sarkisian went under a lot of fire given his game calling inside the national championship game. Now, this offense for Atlanta was the best offense in the NFL last season, but you have lost your coach on the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, your head coach is a defensive-minded head coach. How do you think your role in this offense changes in general with a new offensive coordinator?
I've met and spoke with Coach Sarkisian. We are going to keep aspects of the passing game that Kyle Shanahan has already put in. So the passing attack will remain the same. Obviously, we'll be doing something a little bit different with our running game this season, but our passing attack will remain the same. Me, myself, and Matt Ryan as the only quarterback. He's the only quarterback I know, the only quarterback I've played with. So I really don't think that should be an issue for fantasy owners to worry about.
Sir, before my final question before I cede time to the rest of the committee here is you have had countless foot surgeries at this point. Another wide receiver in the NFL, Sammy Watkins, has had countless foot surgeries as well. We sit here on this committee and the rest of our fantasy football community. We cast many, many doubts about Sammy Watkins and his inability to stay on the field. Sir, you are 28 years old. Sammy Watkins is quite a few years younger than you are. Why do you feel that people doubt Sammy Watkins and don't doubt you, sir?
I've been able to get on the field and produce and play through injury and play through pain, whereas my brother, who I, you know, Mr. Watkins, I'm a very big fan of, a good friend of mine, he has not been as fortunate as I have in that regard.
Mr. Chairman?
Director Engel, you are up now. We will give you time after the break to continue your questions.
Okay.
We appreciate it. This is our Fantasy Football Oversight Committee hearings. We're just trying to determine if there's any obstruction of drafting involved when it comes to these players. Of course, we'll all have our own findings. The fantasy football community will certainly present their findings, which you can find at rotoexperts.com inside the Exclusive Edge Premium Package, which comes out in 6 days from now. Fantasy Football Oversight Committee hearings will continue. Director Engel is up next to interview under oath Mr. Julio Jones. Stick around. Fantasy Football Oversight Committee hearing on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Continue after this. Fantasy Football Oversight Committee hearings are here on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Mr. Jones of Atlanta, Georgia, is currently in our committee room. I am your ranking member, Greg Sussman. Our chairman of this committee is Mr. Matt Modica. Director Scott Engel, he currently has the floor.
Mr. Jones, good morning.
Good morning, Director.
Yes, I noticed you were limping, but I also wanted to know.
We've already discussed that.
It's up to me to bring up the subject.
Yes, Mr. Yes,
please don't be hostile with the witness.
Yes. Sorry, Mr. Director.
Are you talking to me or are you talking to the witness?
I'm saying please don't be hostile. Let him give it, you know. Let's ask questions, you know.
You can listen now while
I am the ranking member. Remember
that. So I just wanted to know, have you also recovered from choking? As well as, you know, as you guys, everybody knows you blew a lead in the Super Bowl.
You can refuse to answer that question.
Mr. Director, I feel that is unfair to
I believe he did make a fantastic catch at the end of that game. That's not his fault.
Excuse me.
I'm talking
about the playoffs. He was a Buffalo Bills fan, but not knowing anything about it.
He's our chairman of our committee, sir.
Anyhow, and he's an adult and he can defend himself as well.
Sir,
he doesn't need you to come in as a father.
Sir, he's the chairman. He can throw you out of this committee. You know
yes,
that.
I realize that, but
I'm not talking to you. Okay?
I'm the ranking member of your party, so
I'll show you where you rank. Anyway.
Number one.
Anyway, mentally, Have you recovered from what happened in the Super Bowl, and is it going to affect you in your play at all this season?
I think that, you know, we've given it some time, obviously, going back home and getting with friends and family, obviously enjoying, you know, Atlanta too. We had some playoff competitions. We had some team bonding experience. We've talked with our head coach, and I've actually had a chance to sit back and sit down and watch the game, and you know, it plays over and over, but I think we have decided as a group, as a unit, to press forward and move forward and get back to the spot and finish it this time.
What about the fact that, you know, I look at your roster, man, I look at guys like Mohamed Sanu, et cetera.
Who's et cetera, Mr. Director?
That's what I'm saying, et cetera. You really don't have any compliments that Matt Ryan can trust on a consistent basis.
Mr. Director, we scored the most touchdowns in the NFL last season by like a long shot.
Yes, but that's I'm talking about the passing game here. You know, you look at your running game, it's very strong. Do you feel like with injuries maybe taking its toll on you over the years.
I wouldn't miss a direct. I wouldn't say the injuries are taking their toll on me. I've struggled with one specific foot injury, but taking toll is not something that
feel,
I would say.
You feel like that? You don't feel like the lack of talent around you and the multiple foot surgeries is something we should be concerned about?
Mr. Director, I would say that's very unfair to say there's a lack of talent. We saw flashes from Taylor Gabriel last year. Mohamed Sanu is a trusted veteran. Austin Hooper is an up-and-coming young man. We also use Mr. Freeman and Mr. Coleman out the backfield. Matt Ryan's coming off a 5,000-yard passing season where he won the Most Valuable Player Award. I would say that our offense is humming, Mr. Director.
Can we trust you to be on the field?
You can trust me to be on the field in 2017. I will be out there with my teammates. My foot will be ready to go for week one.
How can I say I can trust you when in four of your six NFL seasons you have not played a full schedule?
Well, the NFL is obviously a very grinding, grueling sport. And sometimes, you know, you have to take a couple games off just for maintenance of your body. But I'll be there for my
team. I would like to point out that it's only one season where he's played less than 13 games.
In four of six
Thank
seasons,
you, Mr. Chairman.
He has not played a full schedule, though.
Okay, last season he played only 14 games, caught only 83 passes, and put up 1,400 yards.
Well, I don't think we doubt what he can do when he's on the field. I think the fact that he's not always on the field is the issue.
Mr. Director, I feel very good about the status of my foot. I know, I understand I had a limp when I came into the chamber today, but I will, when it's time to go into our new stadium, the Mercedes-Benz Dome, I will be there and I'll be good to go.
Well, congratulations on the new stadium.
Thank you, Mr. Director.
I have to point out that we are talking about where we're going to draft you, and I don't have to worry about these issues with Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham Jr.
Understood. But I think everybody has their own issues, Mr. Director, and I've put up better numbers than they have in years also.
All right. I have no further questions.
Okay,
thank you, Mr. Director.
I have a couple of questions here. I just want to point out that on a points per basis, on a points up per opportunity basis, you have consistently ranked as the top receiver or one of the top receivers in the game. Your three-year average is you've averaged 15 games, 165 targets, 108 receptions with 1,624 yards and 7 touchdowns in a season.
Very efficient numbers, Mr. Chairman.
I think that I don't, and I know you have a new offensive coordinator that was mentioned by the ranking member, but I don't see that changing this season, maybe year two. Do you agree with that thought process?
Yeah, I agree 100%. I've had phone calls with Mr. Sarkisian, my new head coach, with my new coordinator, I've also spoken with my position coach, and like I said, the passing game will remain the same, and this is what you can expect from Julio Jones.
My final question before I ask the other members if they have anything else to finish this off with, and I'd like to get Mr. Lynch on board here as well, is can we guarantee week one you'll be on that field opening day?
I will be on the field on opening day.
Thank you, sir. If anybody else have any further questions?
I have some follow-up questions, Mr. Jones. Now, my co-member here on this committee, Director Engel, he mentioned Antonio Brown and mentioned Mr. Beckham as well. We've had you in a class with Mr. Evans here. But the player that we have not mentioned that I think it always goes hand-in-hand with you, sir, is A.J. Green. And A.J. Green this year, do you believe that you should be drafted ahead of A.J. Green, if you're being completely honest with this committee?
Yeah, I feel as if I should be drafted ahead of A.J. Green.
Sir, do you believe you should be drafted in front of Mr. Hilton?
I believe that I should be drafted in front of T.Y. Hilton also, yes.
Interesting. And no further questions.
Mr. Director?
I have no further questions.
Well, we want to thank you for appearing today. I do apologize for the director's hostility towards you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I could apologize for myself if I wanted to.
Again, this is Mr. Chairman's committee.
I don't know who decided you guys were over me, but I think that's nonsense. If this hostility does not stop.
He is the chairman, given that his party is...
How do you two both rank ahead of me? Where did this come from?
Well, it's very simple. His party is in current control of the House. I am the ranking member of this
Turn
party.
A damn TV on, Director.
Or just watch
Shut
any
it off.
Watch any of those TVs out there.
Yeah.
Am I free to go now?
Yes, you are, sir. Thank you very much.
Chairman, I do want to try to understand if there's obstruction, if we find an obstruction of drafting of Mr. Jones.
I absolutely do not. I think his resume speaks for himself. And I honestly think Mr. Brown has proven to be the number one. If he's not 1A or tied with him, I think that case could be made.
Director Engel.
I do respectfully agree with what he said about, you know, the fact that when he's on the field, he's great. But I find Mr. Jones being guilty of obstruction of drafting because he actually limped to the podium. He has not played a full schedule in 4 of 6 seasons. As great as he is when he's on the field, I cannot take his word from that he will be on the field. So I'm not going to draft him nearly as high as Antonio Brown or Odell Beckham, and I find him guilty of obstruction of drafting.
All right, so we already know he's not going to be drafted. Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, and Mike Evans for you, I can assume, given your answer just now, right. Director. Who other wide receivers would you have ahead of him?
I need to pull up my ranking list to give you an accurate answer on this.
Get the director, come prepared.
And also,
you're a witness, be quiet.
I know he hasn't been with us most of this day, but another member of our committee is Mr. Parson. Mr. Parson here.
Yes.
I appreciate you taking the time.
Thank you.
I know you're a very, very busy man, but the time to sit with us here. I know you were able to listen outside of the room of Mr. Jones' testimony.
Yes.
Were you satisfied with his answers?
I was not satisfied with his answers. Obviously, we saw him coming here limping.
Yes.
First and foremost.
Yes.
Also, he spoke about those games that you mentioned. Mr. Sussman.
Yes.
It seems like he can be taken out of games almost at will.
Yes.
I think that concerns me also. I think Mr. Jones is a very good player. He's a very good fantasy asset. I just would be, I would temper my expectations this year.
Now, Director Angle, you mentioned how Julio has not played a full season 4 out of 6 years in the NFL, which is true.
Yes.
But I was wondering if you had like a guy like A.J. Green ahead of him who has also missed some time as of late in recent years.
No, I do not.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
I would definitely put Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham Jr., and Mike Evans ahead of him.
Okay.
If Mr. Jones was healthy,
okay,
this is why I find him guilty. If he was healthy regularly, I might consider him as like my 1A.
Okay. So right now you consider you have him number 7 overall, and the top 4 wide receivers still. Right.
I have a question for the director. I don't get it. I mean, 15 games, 16 games, 14 games, pretty much 1,600 yards in 2014, 1,593, 1,871 in 15, 1,400 last season in only 14 games. I think this talent, I've convinced myself, I've moved him up my board. I think you should as well.
I don't have to based on your recommendation, and I respectfully agree with you that you know the talent is tremendous, but I had him on 2 teams last year, and I've had him in the past, and when I can't have him last year, I did not have him for some very important games. I find that to be obstruction of drafting. I need to have my receiver be reliable, and Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr. So far, Mike Evans have been reliable.
Direct the angle. You sound like you're taking this personally with Mr. Jones.
It sounds like he's blaming his failure on Mr. Jones.
That sounds like you're blaming your failures on Mr. Jones.
I'm saying that I want, no matter who I am and where I am in the standings, I want to have my top receiver that I'm going to take number 1 or number 2 off the board not be an injury risk.
Mr. Parson, you are here, obviously. You have told us that you're not satisfied by Mr. Jones' answers. Do you have Mr. A.J. Green or Mr. Hilton ahead of Mr. Jones?
I have both players ahead of Mr. Jones.
So there, are those the only 2 players outside of the other 3 that you have ahead of Mr. Jones?
I also have Dez Bryant and Jordy Nelson ahead of Mr. Jones.
Wow, so you were really very cold on Mr. Jones. You were really not satisfied by his answers today.
I'm not at all.
Okay, we're going to take a break from our committee hearings, and we're going to head at the park with Director Angle, who I don't know what he's currently doing. Red Westbrook's in the morning continues after this. Roto Experts in the morning here, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. All morning long, we're holding oversight committee hearings. We have our committee here, Mr. Modiga, our chairman, our director, Mr. Angle, and of course me, the ranking member of the committee, Craig Sussman. And before we continue with our oversight committee hearings, I know Mr. Marshawn Lynch is excited to talk to the committee. That was sarcasm, he's not. We are going at the park with you, Mr. Scott Angle.
Yes, and Milwaukee Brewers Week continues with Travis Shaw. You can hear my full interview with him on demand, Google Play, iTunes, Audio Boom, etc. And covered a range of topics with Mr. Shaw, including how he felt about being traded for Boston. He was actually blunt about you know, how it did affect him. You know, I often talk about how players want to do well against their former teams, or sometimes they get burned by trades. He was very forthcoming about it, which I appreciated. And I also asked him about his improved plate discipline. And here's a cut from me talking to Travis Shaw.
Yeah, it was. Just being able to get an opportunity to face him again after last year. Wanted to prove that I could hit lefties, and so far so good.
So far, you're having the best year of your career, it seems, in terms of plate discipline, you know, cutting down on the strikeouts, et cetera. You feel like you're more focused and disciplined at the plate this season?
Yeah, it just comes with experience. Last year, first full season in the big leagues. This year, another year of experience. So with experience, I think, comes a little bit more consistency.
Yeah, so what he talked about at the top there was he's also improved against lefties this year. Walk percentage is down a little bit, but the strikeout percentage is definitely down from 25.1% to 21.6%. Isolated power is up from 179 to 234. The BABIP is at 338. It's kind of over his career average, but, you know, this is a guy that can still hit 275, 280, and obviously we've seen the 10 home runs. He's been a real nice find for where people have drafted him.
Yeah, I like Travis Shaw. I noticed that after that first week, batting cleanup, a good offense, he was inside a good ballpark. I liked what I saw from Travis Shaw, and Matt, he's done nothing but hit.
He's, David Stearns went after him in the offseason.
I know you love David Stearns.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm just looking at the last 2 years, like these under-the-radar guys, like Jonathan Villar, Travis Shaw. The other thing is left-handed power in Miller Park. I mean, I can't preach that enough. It always seems to play. So, he was a nice find, very late. He's got first and third base eligibility, so you're very happy with Travis Shaw's production.
Yeah, it's more to the plate discipline. His overall swing percentage has gone down from 48% to 43%, so that's what we were talking about there, Greg.
Yeah, it's a good point, Scott, and he was just seeing the ball better. And it's interesting that for him, it's simply about gaining pitch recognition, basically, just being in the league, being able to understand pitching better, and not just minor league guys that don't throw it as well as some of these major league guys. It's just the experience is what he was talking about, Scott.
Yeah, and the more interesting part of the interview, too, is I asked him about, does the trade to the Red Sox serve as a motivator? He told me, definitely, you want to prove the team that dealt you away, that they've done something wrong. And you'll hear him say that in the interview. And not every athlete is going to come out and admit that. But, you know, speaking to some of them privately, you know, that's how they often feel behind the scenes.
Yeah, and ultimately, for a guy like Travis Shaw, you know, I think he never really truly got that everyday playing time in Boston and here. He's getting an opportunity to play every day, to bat cleanup, and really be a standout player for the Milwaukee Brewers. To hear the full interview with Travis Shaw from the King, Scott Engel, make sure you listen to Roto Experts at the Park on demand wherever you're listening to us, whether it's iTunes, SoundCloud, Google Play Store, on the app, Audio Boom, whatnot. It is there, as along with all of Scotty's fantastic Roto Experts at the Park interviews. For more Roto Experts on demand, make sure you tune in every day. Hey, the Oversight Committee hearings continue with Marshawn Lynch when we return. Roto Experts at the Park, Oversight Committee hearings continue next.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire, smoke, Roto. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Roto Experts in the Morning starts now.
Hour number two of the Roto Experts of the Morning is live here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Radio.
Director Scott Engel is here, part of our oversight committee. Our chairman of this committee, Mr. Matt Modica, is here. I am the ranking member of the committee, Greg Sussman, and inside our oversight committee here, fantasy football, we were trying to figure out if there's an obstruction of drafting here this year. We bring in Marshawn Lynch. Mr. Lynch, we appreciate you coming from the committee.
Yeah.
Mr. Lynch, I just want to start off thanking you again, as the ranking member just did.
I don't even know why I'm here.
Well, we're going to make this as painless as possible for you. And once again, we do appreciate you showing. What we're trying to do is restore law and order in the fantasy world. Okay, so that is our main goal. I expect some hostility from our director. And if that does occur, his mic will be silenced. So just a heads
anybody
up.
We are gonna,
we are going to make this a professional and be very courteous to you, sir.
Anybody got a problem with me, I'm here.
I will start off with the first question. And I think it's something I think we must address. It's kind of like the elephant in the room. Pete Carroll. Is he the reason you left Seattle?
It's a lot of reasons why I left them folks. But, you know, he is all right. But we had some differences of opinions. So I was trying to figure out why y'all called me up here. Talk about, I'm on town business. I don't know nothing about no Pete Carroll. That's old stuff right there.
Well, you have returned to the league, so we feel this is... And you are drawing a lot of interest. You will be playing in your hometown. You will be a person that, you know, can get in the end zone. You've proven that. You've scored more touchdowns than anybody, I believe, in the last 5 years on the ground.
That's what I do. It's that I'm about that action, boss.
One last question that I will have for you. Russell Wilson, was he the problem?
I mean, am I here to talk about the Seattle Seahawks? I told you, I don't have nothing to do with those folks anymore out there. I'm in the town now, town biz. I don't even know him, that guy, that, you know, whatever that situation you talking about with the quarterback in Seattle.
Did you ever have to sign a release for him? By Russell Wilson.
I don't even hang with him like that. Just go nowhere with that dude to have to sign something. The only thing I sign is checks.
I like that attitude.
Well, and you're a big Goldman Sachs guy, so I figured that.
Money talks and bullshit walks, right?
There you go.
That's all the questions that I have for you, and I'm going to pass it over to the ranking member who will ask his questions after the break.
I will have many questions for Mr. Lynch. We'll see if he answers them. The director has some questions as well. It is our House Oversight Committee hearings with Marshawn Lynch. We break it down next on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Oversight Committee hearings with our chairman, our ranking member, and Lenny Kravitz.
Who wants to get away?
Just like I do. We're chatting it up, or trying to, with our current testimony from Marshawn Lynch. Mr. Chairman has allowed me to ask a couple questions now as the ranking member of the committee. Mr. Lynch...
What's up, boss?
You started to tell the truth during this hearing?
All day.
Mr. Lynch, why did you come back?
To the NFL?
Yes.
Because I wanted to play football for town. I wanted to represent the city of Oakland. Oakland Raiders got a strong old line. They got a good young team. And I think we can compete for a championship.
Mr. Lynch, you were pretty visible over the last year during your 1 year of retirement. And, you know, to be perfectly honest with you, you made jokes about marijuana use. You were on the Seahawks sideline fooling around. It looked, to be perfectly blunt with you, you gained a little bit of weight. And some people would actually say that you were on your last legs before you retired about a year ago.
I don't understand how somebody in liberal media could sit up here and say I was on my last legs. In 2015, I only played in 6 games.
Because you were hurt. Now, you were hurt.
I'm healthy now. I took a year off. I got healthy. 2014, I ran for 1,300 yards. I had 13 touchdowns. I'm about that action, boss.
Sir.
I play in Super Bowls.
Sir.
I should have won 2 of them.
But you were not given the ball by your coach, Pete Carroll. Sir, you're 31 years old. Do you believe that you gained weight? You have gained weight over the last 2 years?
listen, the weight can come right off. I'm living life. I'm a big back. I'm a big running back. I'm a big man. I run through the holes and I score touchdowns, and I'm about that action.
Sir, will you be able to pass drug tests all season long?
I plead the fifth.
Sir, many people for years, myself included, to be perfectly honest, thought of your demise, and you proved us wrong every single time. You have said repeatedly on to this committee, I can read the quote back to you, quote, "I score touchdowns," unquote. You have the detractors this year, and I don't know that I'm sold. I don't know if the offensive line at Oakland can be as good as it was last year. I don't know if this offense could be. And how do I know that your heart is in it?
My heart is in it because I want to play football for the town. These are the hallways that I pissed in. I'm from the city of Oakland. I'm representing for Oakland. I'm taking this team back to a championship. I come in here as the older guy, but I'm about that action. And I'm going to get it done this year for my town, Oakland. So Oakland is all the motivation I need. And I like to knock MFers over when I run.
I cede my time to the rest of the committee.
Director, you are up.
Good morning, Mr. Lynch.
Morning.
Yeah. Well, due respect, I feel you're a future Hall of Famer.
Thank you.
There may not be anything left for you to prove.
I like you already, Mr. Director.
Thank you. And I much the same respect. I do have to ask, as a football fan, now you did take a year off, and I understand you had a good time doing what you did, but what is going to be the challenge after taking a year off and getting back up to the speed of the NFL? There are fantasy players.
I never
players.
Lost the speed, Mr. Director.
I'm talking about the speed of the game itself, getting acclimated to the game and the speed itself, not your speed.
It might take, you know, a week or two, but when you play football for as long as I played professional football for, I had 4 seasons in Buffalo, and I had 5 seasons with, I played in this game for 10 years, and I was able to compete at a high level. It's like riding a bike, Mr. Director. It's like riding a bike through the city of Oakland. You know, you just hop on your bike and you do it. It's nothing different, and you grab your nuts.
It's like, now, you've had 21...
Mr. Director,
44.
I like you.
Same. Very much. 21-44 career carries. And detractors of running backs who've done a lot of statistical studies say that running backs over the age of 30 are in decline.
That's an urban legend. They ain't never met a G like Marshawn Lynch. It's only been one Marshawn Lynch to play in the NFL. I could be 40, and I'm still going to get that work. You smell me?
I do. Now, let me ask you this.
Smell,
now,
what it smell like? That sticky knot.
Now, let me ask you this. Like, you know, my colleague.
A lot of your other colleagues seem to be a little uptight and stuff like that, but I like your demeanor, Mr. Director.
I'm not going to go back and ask you about what happened in, you know, Seattle and
Thank
stuff
you.
Like that, and all the discord and things like that, because obviously you were on the sidelines last year joking around with your teammates. You said playing in Oakland, the big deal for you is that the team is going to move and you want the kids to have a role model in Oakland to look up to and see play on the field this year.
That's exactly what I'm trying to be. I'm trying to be a role model. I'm out there working with those kids every day, trying to make sure that they have somebody to look up to, town business.
Well, I'm actually thankful that the director did not really want to get into your time in Seattle, because he's obviously biased on that situation.
No, so I'm here as an objective observer, and I think you already covered it. I didn't have any problem with you asking the questions, but it's already been covered. There's no reason for me to bring it up. You know, I'm not here personally for my opinion. Last question for you. What do you want to say to your detractors who say that you were declining in 2015, you only started 6 games, and it's very hard to come back after a year off and you're 31 years old?
F off.
I like the attitude. I really do, sir. I have one question before handing it over to the ranking member, see if he has any others. Will you score more than 10 touchdowns this season?
As long as they give me the football and the goal line, I've already heard from the offense that I'm going to be the goal line runner. So you look at my career. In my years in Seattle, I had seasons of 12, 11, 12, and 13 touchdowns.
So, yeah, double-digit touchdowns is definitely going to happen in the town this year for the boss.
One last question. I'm sorry. I'm going to have to throw one
more. Keep asking. You keep saying one last question.
I know. But you're just so enthralling.
No. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Now, this question is off topic of football.
Oh, okay.
Do you prefer the red bag of Skittles or the purple bag of Skittles?
I like Skittles in all flavors. This, you know, I thought this was going to be a bad thing. You guys on this committee have been very nice to me. I'm glad I came to Washington today.
Could it be black and silver Skittles?
We're working on that, Mr. Director.
The director's questions were really very detailed. I could tell during this entire hearing. I guess my only question is, do you believe that you could be better than your predecessor, Latavius Murray, in Oakland?
I don't even know who that dude is, to be honest with you. I've seen him a couple of times around town. I don't know who that cat is. He's out there in Minnesota now. That's where he deserves to be. This backfield belongs to young boss Money Lynch.
You're not young, but I see the rest of my time.
Hey, this guy said something mean to me just now. I'll see you listen, you got to leave here today.
Sir, I'm leaving long after you. So,
all right.
So, will he be riding dirty?
Everybody's very right, nice to me.
Sir, Mr. Chairman, do you believe there's an obstruction of drafting in regards to Marshawn Lynch?
I'm going to say no. I am very pleased with the answers I received. I'm kind of optimistic. He's a little bit older, but, you know, he's been a beast his whole time, so I say he's innocent as well.
Mr. Director?
This is not easy for me to do, but I'm going to say that he is guilty of obstruction of drafting because...
You gather from he's coming. BS questions you asked?
I really like him.
I thought we was better than that.
Well, I really like you as a person, but as a fantasy owner, I got to do my job. Okay, and I wish you all the best, and you would get my Hall of Fame vote. But I think a guy who looked like he was declining in 2015 and has taken a year off, I think the expectations are too high. So I'm going to say obstruction of drafting.
Sounds like a scorned lover to me.
So interesting because the director asked.
You would know about that.
Asked no,
actually.
The director asked no questions in regards to. These details, this is very interesting. I did not think you really go that way with your decision, but I'm glad to hear it, Mr. Director, because
I have a lot of love for Mr. Lynch personally.
I just feel like you had a preordained answer before, and you used your questions as a...
You know, I have a lot of love for Mr. and I think he's a future Hall of Famer, but as a fantasy analyst, I think it's not what he said. I'm going outside of what he said. He gave some great answers. I think the fantasy community as a whole is overrating him.
For me, I will actually agree with the director. I also believe there's an obstruction. There should be an obstruction of drafting
this
here.
This guy right here been giving me a hard time since I came in here.
That people just simply believe that you're going to walk back into the NFL and be the Marshawn Lynch in your prime, and I just don't see that. I think, you know, Latavius Murray from last year is his ceiling, and because of that, I don't think things necessarily go your way, and I do not like where he's being drafted. I will also find the party guilty. When we return on the Roto Experts in the Morning, we have our next running back inside the committee to listen to us, the director, the chairman, myself, the ranking member, Devontae Booker, next on the House Oversight Committee on the Roto Experts in the Morning. The Roto Experts Oversight Committee hearings are here, live, on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Fantasy football talk throughout the program today. And the next man up inside our committee is Mr. Devontae Booker. A little different atmosphere in here. So we welcome in Devontae Booker, Mr. Chairman.
Sir, thank you for coming in today.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I don't know why I was called in here, but I'm down to answer some questions from you guys.
You are a person of interest. You will be playing behind a better offensive line, a running back who is ahead of you that people have had very high hopes for that hasn't truly panned out yet. So the opportunity is still there for you with a very good defense, maybe the best in the league. So I'm going to let the director start the questions, and then we'll go around the table.
Good morning, Mr. Booker.
Good morning, Mr. Director.
There's an uphill battle for you on the depth chart. you know, as we open training camp or look ahead to training camp. You do have an established C.J. Anderson ahead of you, and they brought in Jamal Charles. What's your outlook there? What's your approach?
I'll be starting running back for the Denver Broncos in 2017. Maybe we share a little bit of time with Mr. Anderson and Mr. Charles if he's able to make the team, but I am confident in my skill set and my talent and my ability, and I will be the starting running back this year for the Denver Broncos. I will have the most fantasy value.
Last year, you averaged just 3.5 yards per carry. Is that because of the offensive line?
Well, last year I was adjusting to the NFL, trying to find my way in my rookie season. There were some injuries along the front of the line, but I still could have played better.
Last year, you caught 31 balls for 265 yards, averaging 16.6 yards per catch. If you do get the opportunity to start, do you feel like fantasy owners should definitely look for your versatility?
Yes, versatility is a part of my game. Catching the football out of the backfield is something that I excel at. I always have back when I was in peewee football. Mr. Director, have you ever played peewee football?
No, I have not.
Oh, very nice.
I have covered it, though.
Mr. Director, you have a long career of journalism. I've seen your work. I'm very, very proud to be sitting up here with you today.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and I wish you luck this season.
Thank you, Mr. Director.
There is an issue with quarterback. Some of the guys you have, they're inexperienced. That could prove to be somewhat daunting when you look at the offense, because if you don't get consistent quarterback play, that could limit the opportunities to score for running back like yourself.
Yeah, well, quarterback play, I believe, will be consistent this year. I think that they're working those guys out right. You know, we have some health is key on our offensive line. And I believe that the quarterback play, listen, I think we have a great defense, and the quarterback play is going to be something that's going to help us go over the top and return to being a playoff team in the NFL, Mr. Director.
Last question for you. How have you adjusted to the high altitudes in Denver?
Well, obviously, just training a lot, training all the time, trying to keep my body in good health, trying to keep my wind up, and just training my training regiment, my personal training staff do a very good job.
All right, I have no further questions.
Thank you, Mr. Director. Very nice to meet you.
You too.
Mr. Booker, thank you for coming in here today.
Thank you.
And I understand, you don't know why you're here. Given the other people that we have called in thus far, you don't really kind of fit in that mold. But some of the community have forgotten about you given your struggles last year, and some of the fantasy football community have talked you up because of those exact reasons, in fact. I look at you, sir, and I wonder, why should we be drafting you over a C.J. Anderson?
I feel as if we've seen the best that we're going to see from C.J. Anderson. I think that I'm a younger player. I think I have more talent. I obviously worked very hard, and not in the offseason, because we're still in the offseason, working very hard right now to get better every day. I understand it's a competition with me, myself, and C.J., but I just feel like I'm ready to go right now. I can't wait to get on the field, and I'm definitely looking to have a bounce-back season, get those yards per carry up, and be a reliable member of the offense.
Now, obviously, the new head coach, Vance Joseph, has no true relationship with you, nor does offensive coordinator Mike McCoy, so he's going to let the best player win at the running back position. That could be you, sir, that could be C.J. Anderson, or that could be Jamal Charles if he remains healthy. Do you believe that when fantasy football owners are drafting you that they're getting great value, or simply they're getting the best and potential starting running back? What do you believe they're getting?
I think it's great value and the potential starting running back. I think they're getting the best player in the backfield, pound for pound. They're also getting a guy who hasn't really had to deal with many injuries throughout the course of my career, whereas the other members of the backfield have had to struggle with injuries at times.
Okay, so that's all I have for Mr. Booker.
Well, I want to thank you again for coming here today. I just have a couple of quick questions. I do see you having the opportunity this season. I do think it will arise. I don't think Mr. Charles, unfortunately, will make the team.
Yes.
So it'll be you and Mr. Anderson. I think, as you stated, it was your rookie season. The offensive line was banged up. They made some nice moves.
Ronald Leary from the Dallas Cowboys, great offensive line, is now with us in Denver.
That's exactly where I was going, sir. And I think that it can be a big boom for you guys up front. So I am a person that has seen Mr. Anderson play the last couple of seasons. And, maybe it's injury too for him. He hasn't been able to stay healthy. And maybe he's not as good, not as bad, But I think that you might be the promised person for the Broncos. I think with the defense you guys own, your quarterback position, I think, is more of a game manager right now. So I think you could be a nice value in drafts.
No, thank you. I appreciate that. I think my quarterback can do a little bit more than manage the game, too.
Well, he does have a couple of excellent wide receivers, but we will see. Anyone else have a question?
Yeah, I have one follow-up.
Mr. Director, how can I help you?
He was referring to, my colleague was referring to Mike McCoy. Mike McCoy tends to be known for more of a power-blocking run scheme more than one cut. And it seems like you're better suited to the power-blocking run scheme more than the one cut. Would you agree with that?
Yes, I would agree with that. Mr. McCoy, Coach McCoy also likes to get us running backs involved in the passing game also. So also something I'm looking forward to working with Coach McCoy, who I've met and spoken with, and we share text messages. And I'm ready for this upcoming season, Mr. Director.
Okay, that's all.
I have one last question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how confident are you that you will overtake Mr. Anderson for that starting role?
I would say that that's a 10.
That
I was hoping for an 11. I was hoping for an 11. I will say that.
All right, Mr. Chairman.
All right, gentlemen. Mr. Director, I'll go to you first. Do you believe there's an obstruction of drafting when it comes to Mr. Booker?
I don't think so at all. I'm looking at some player rankings at running back. He's not even ranked in the top 50. And this guy is an opportunity because I don't believe C.J. Anderson's ever shown it to us wire for wire. Jamal Charles could be at the end of his career, so I see absolutely no obstruction of drafting.
Mr. Radica?
I'm gonna have to agree with the director on this one as well. Mr. Anderson is kind of disappointed, and as I stated, he's staying in the field. I think the opportunity will arise for Mr. Booker, and I think this time Mr. Booker will take full advantage of it.
I agree with the rest of my committee. I think we're all in here on Mr. Booker. Mr. Booker, we appreciate your time. You may step down.
Please turn on your mics.
Thank you very much. Panel.
All right, absolutely. And for our next member that the committee will oversee here, our next testimony will come from wide receiver Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen will be coming in right now. So, Keenan Allen, welcome inside our committee hearing. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Glad to be here. I'm feeling very good this morning.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Allen, many of us were very excited for you last season.
Thank you.
That first half was looking phenomenal of game one. And unfortunately, that was it. You know, I just want to know, I've heard good things out of camp, but I want to hear it from your mouth. How is the knee?
Well, obviously, I hurt my knee in September. It was very early in the mm-hmm. season. It was week one, so I've had the surgery. I've rehabbed throughout the course of the season. I was back on my feet and walking around the locker room as recently as early as December. And then after that, we ramped up training and stuff like that. I was able to get on the field and go out there and participate in the organized team activities, the OTAs. So I feel like rebounding and rehabbing from an injury 2 years in a row, you know, it's kind of some adversity been put into my playing career. But I feel very good about the upcoming season.
Do you believe playing from the slot will accentuate your abilities and that's the right spot for you? And with the new addition of the rookie wide receiver, who I know is hurt, but... Tyrell Williams stepped up last season. You have a young tight end in town, too, and a fantastic running back as well.
I think we have some good pieces in the offense. Anthony Lynn comes in here now, and I'm just looking forward to getting started with all the guys. I feel as if that we are going to be a force to be reckoned with offensively, and I plan on being the leader of that offense.
And you are a bona fide top 20 wide receiver. That is correct?
This is correct. I think I'm a top 10 wide receiver.
Thank you, sir, managing the...
The ranking member here. Mr. Allen, I have somebody that is a big fan of you, and I'm happy to have you here in front of our committee today. The obvious question is, why do you keep getting hurt?
Well, I think the injury that I suffered in Baltimore 2 years ago was more of a freak style accident. Obviously, you know, I still was injured. I was on my way to a fantastic season. I had a spleen injury. I had to sit out and miss the rest of the season. And then last year, obviously, had the non-contact ACL injury, more of a kind of a freak injury type thing also. So, you know, as being an NFL player, injury is something that we have to deal with. And it's not like I'm going out there trying to get hurt. I really just think I've had bad luck.
So there's not one time in your career, in your 4 years thus far in the NFL, you have played 16 games. Not one time. Now, fantasy owners, they want to believe in you. They think your skill is top notch. They truly believe that you have the potential to be a top 10, as you said, wide receiver in this league. I just don't know. I want to believe it's you. I don't know how we can do it when we see that you can't stay healthy, sir.
Oh, I don't think that staying healthy is the issue here. I think it's other things, just bad luck, freak accidents. I don't really think that health is a thing.
We will continue discussing Mr. Allen's health with Mr. Allen. The committee, the oversight committee here inside the Roto Experts in the Morning. We'll continue with Keenan Allen and one last guest when we return on the Roto Experts in the Morning. Oversight Committee hearings with Keenan Allen. We have one more player after this. Keenan Allen, a lot of questions regarding the injury history. As the ranking member, I have one last question for you, sir, Mr. Yes. Allen, before I see the rest of my time as the director on the panel. Mr. Allen.
Yes.
The Los Angeles Chargers drafted a wide receiver number 8 overall.
Yes.
Mr. Mike Williams. They have Tyrell Williams. They have my man Dontrell Inman as well. They have a lot of talent there. Do you think and expect yourself to be back to 100% and be able to overtake all these other guys to reclaim your role as the number one wide receiver in this offense?
Yes, I do. That is fully my goal coming in. I'll be working with the young man once he gets fully healthy and up and ready to go, help him catch on. Obviously, every piece is very important, but I still look at myself as the primary target in the passing game, and I think we'll see that happens again this season.
Mr. Engel.
Good morning, Mr. Allen.
Hey, good
morning. Congratulations on your recent engagement.
Oh, thank you. She's a beautiful young lady. She's in the crowd.
Good, good. Again, to Mike Williams, do you feel like they drafted Mike Williams basically to become the number one and you'll become more in a complimentary role?
I mean, that could happen as we move further, but I know that I'm going to go out there, continue to do my best, continue to learn and play every day. And, and I already have a good connection with Rivers. I definitely want to help the young man grow, and if he grows, succeed to become some kind of great player like that, I'll be very happy for him, but I also have a lot of playing left myself.
I've noticed in camp you're wearing a very big, bulky brace on your knee that would scare the average fan, especially the average fantasy football player. What would you say to those types of people?
Well, obviously, having surgery less than a year ago, still want to, have some stability for the knee, but I don't think that it'll be an issue. Once you see me on the field in training camp, I don't intend to have this brace on.
Can we look at the drafting of Mike Williams as maybe something else to look at as a positive? In another way, you get this big target across from you, can take some attention away from you, so maybe you face less defensive attention and maybe therefore less risk of injury.
Yes, I mean, that can happen too, but I don't think the risk of injury is the part you need to leave off of there. I don't feel it.
Well, you've only played 10 games in the last two seasons, to be fair.
Direct the angle, I think I've been unlucky.
I think you've been unlucky. Okay, I have no further questions.
Any further questions for you?
No, sir.
Well, I want to thank you for coming in. I know your time was limited today. For me, I'm going to have to say guilty on the obstruction.
Okay.
The knee, the past. I know the 2015 injury was, just a health thing. Nothing you can really do there, but I'm going to say guilty.
Director Engel?
I'm going to say not guilty because I think that the potential is really still there for a big PPR season. I think the main reason why I'm not going to say obstruction is I think fantasy owners have bumped him down the draft boards commensurately.
I am going to say there's an obstruction of justice here. For me, people still believe in the optimism of Keenan Allen, and I don't want to fall for that trap again. He cannot stay healthy, and why are we putting ourselves at risk by just drafting another injured player? Give me Jordy Nelson, who's already come back. He hasn't had many injuries, Jordy Nelson. He's proven he can come back from the ACL. I'd much rather just take a shot there rather than get in on the injuries here.
Well, we'd like to call our next witness today.
Our final witness of the day.
Yes, and the final of the day.
Our final witness of the day. And with that, we bring in Seattle Seahawks quarterback, and Super Bowl winning champion. We bring in Russell Wilson inside of this committee. Russell, we appreciate the time. Thank you very, very much for the opportunity.
How you doing?
Thank you. It's very, very nice to see you, Russell. We appreciate it, Mr. Chairman.
Yes. Oh my God. I tell you guys what I'm.
Let me turn my microphone. I'm very happy to be here and sitting in front of you guys today. Very proud to make this trip up here. And these are the great leaders of our country. And I would like to thank my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for allowing me to come to talk to you gentlemen today. I'm very happy to be here. Very thrilled. I have my beautiful wife is sitting in the audience. She's with child now.
This is wife number two, right?
Yes, this is my second wife. So I'm very happy to be here with you gentlemen. I'm in a great mood. It's a beautiful day outside. And I'm Russell Wilson.
Well, Mr. Russell Wilson, I want to thank you for coming in today.
Yes.
I want to say you are a handsome man.
Oh, thank you very much.
People like you.
Yes, thank you very much. I'm a kind-hearted, nice-spirited, positive person I try to be.
And for the record, I'd like to note that none of the members of this committee had to sign any paperwork.
Absolutely not. But I do want to, if I may, maybe start with my first question. I do want to ask about that, sir. Mr. Wilson, you've been under a lot of fire inside the fantasy football community, and the football community in general, for a story written by Seth Wickersham inside ESPN
magazine. I love Seth. He's a great guy.
Okay. Now, Mr. Wickersham wrote about a disruption inside the Seattle organization that you have been seen and personified as a bit of a teacher's pet, that the coaching staff and the owner and the general manager favor you, while the defense that really have been the backbone of this quote-unquote dynasty in Seattle, they're not getting necessarily the respect they deserve, whether it's contractually or whether it's, you know, just shining the light. What do you say to those people that, you know, believe you are the teacher's pet here?
That's a great question, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Listen, you get in the locker room, you got 53 different personalities, you got all these guys out there. You know, everybody has their different moments and times and things like that, but I can assure you that when we get on that field, we are a cohesive unit. Myself and Coach Carroll, we do a good job of, you know, putting this whole thing together and making sure that everybody's on the same accord. Every now and then you get situations where guys get a little disgruntled, but, you know, me and my wife, we get on our knees and we pray and we try to make sure that we do things the right way, and we want to infect the team with that righteousness that we live by.
Well, I have one question before handing it over to the fine director. Has Richard Sherman ever threatened your life?
No, Richard Sherman is a good buddy of mine. I mean, me and Richard Sherman are great. There's been many nights we go to IHOP together and we just hang and talk. We've come in to the league, you know, around the same time and come into this great locker room. And, you know, how do you not like Richard Sherman, fellas? I mean, come on. The guy's wonderful, passionate player. You know, I'm glad that Richard Sherman's a teammate of mine, Mr. Director.
Good morning, Mr. Wilson.
Good morning, Mr. Director. It's very good to meet you.
Very good to meet you, too.
How you doing?
Good, good.
Very nice.
Last year, you played through some injuries, but you were able to play the full schedule.
Yeah, you got to do it, man.
But, you know, that kind of hindered you from being your true self on the field at times, I believe, because you weren't able to scramble as much, et cetera. You had to throw for the pocket more, which you've done a lot more over the last 2.5 seasons.
And you've watched a lot of me, haven't you?
Yes. And, you know, but do you feel like you're going to go back to being that type of quarterback this year with full health from the get-go, and also with the intention of Coach Carroll and the offensive coordinators to have more balance in the running game? Do you feel like...
You mentioned a great point, Mr. Director. Balance in the running game. A lot of the running, you know, in a couple of years past. And I was so happy to see my brother, Marshawn Lynch. He just whizzed by me. He didn't speak, but, you know, I understand Marshawn may be in a rush.
Most yards under pressure last year in the air.
Yeah, and then you go right there. Now, obviously, it was difficult last year dealing with that high ankle sprain, and, you know, but thankfully, the Lord has healed me. I've been blessed. Hands have been put on me. The knee, the ankle healed up, and we plan on making a very deep playoff run, Mr. Director, this year. You know, we plan on being back in a big game for you. So, but no, I think the running of the football, I think we'll get some more, you know, dimension to the passing game, the read option. Obviously, the offense we like to run. And me and my connection with Doug Baldwin and the rest of my wide receiving core, I'm so thankful for those great young men. I'm so blessed to have the great teammates that I have on the offensive and defensive side of the football. So I do think that, you know, we're a blessed bunch. And I'm blessed to be playing this game. And I'm blessed with this great wife and this beautiful family. And the 12s all over the United States of America, they're just such great people. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to get back out there. I'm fully healthy. I'm ready to go. And I think we'll see 5,000 yards of total offense from me.
Well, that's what I want to ask you. Like, you know, when Marshawn...
You can ask me anything you want.
When Marshawn was with the team, there was more of a balance between pass and run, where, well, the last years and a half, there's more on your shoulders to drop back and throw. Are you going to go back to that style where you're more... You had the lowest rushing yards of your career last year because of the injuries and the lack of support of the running game. Are you going to be more of the dual threat quarterback that you were, say, 2.5 years ago than just that pure drop back passer?
Obviously, you want to have that drop back passing ability. Me, myself, and Coach Carroll, and the offensive coordinator, that's what we look for. We want to have that dual threat, being that I have the ability to run out the backfield. You want to try to keep the defense guessing, but we got some good backs too. You know, we're bringing Eddie Lacy this year, and we're so blessed to have him. And C.J. Procise, he's getting healthy every day. The kid looks great. And Thomas Rawls, who was banged up last season, God is blessing him, allowing him to come back healthy this season. I'm just so happy to be here.
Sir, I apologize for you, Mr. Director. I just want to get a couple more questions in. Sir, why do you make your friends sign non-disclosure agreements?
Well, listen, it's a lot of times you have situations, and I hate for stuff like this to get out there. But, you know, if I'm going out and I'm hanging out with, you know, on my private time, you know, my wife, you know, has been in a high profile relationship and things like that, and she's a high profile person, and I want to make sure it's not really me, it's her. I want to make sure she's comfortable.
But she's not at baseball games with you when you're making your friend sign this.
Well, she comes into the box with me sometimes, Mr. Okay. Chairman. Okay. She comes into the box with us. And then
along those lines, I just have to ask you, like, this would be, I crystallize things for you. I'm a 12. I'm wearing the same hat that you wore when you won the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Amen.
It's like a Seahawks fan my whole life.
Sign that for him.
Would you make me sign a non-disclosure agreement at a Mariners game?
Just a reminder, this is a committee, not a circle jerk, so please.
Sir, you are under oath.
By the way, this is also Mr. Modica's first time seeing a Super Bowl hat.
Sir, yeah. You are under oath.
I understand you being a 12, and I appreciate every last single 12, but if we were going to a game and my family was attending, yes, you would have to sign an agreement.
Sir, why did you transfer from North Carolina State University?
Well, so a lot of things were, you know, a lot of great people in North Carolina. It's a great state that they have out there. And, I wanted some new experiences. I look at it that way. And the Lord blessed me to have some new experiences. And now, you know, I'm very happy, man.
Sir, we appreciate your time. If you could just stick around, a couple minutes left in the program. I do have a couple more questions. We're going to find out if there's an obstruction of drafting by you, sir, Russell Wilson. The Roto Experts wrap up their program when we return next. My final question of the day here in the House Oversight, Fantasy Football House Oversight Committee.
You're doing a great job, too.
Appreciate that, Mr. Wilson. My last question is, why didn't your team, the Seattle Seahawks, sign Colin Kaepernick to be your backup quarterback?
I think Colin's a great guy. I definitely stand with him.
Stand with him?
I do stand.
In all his beliefs?
Yes, I do stand with him in what he's doing. Now,
so,
listen, I think it's a way.
You're not going to kneel the national anthem this year?
No, I wouldn't. That's not what we
you
do.
You just told me you stand with him.
I would, if he was. I mean, I stand with his stance, his approach, his views. I do agree that there's a, you know, that's something that needs to be tackled. But we in Seattle, you know, in our locker room, the 53 of us, we come together as a team, and we're trying to eliminate problems like this. I would have loved for Mr. Kaepernick to have been a teammate of mine. I think he would have been a fine backup reserve quarterback. And like to have him in the locker room. Think he can bring a lot to the team. But, you know, the management, which I'm not a part of, they decide to go in a different direction.
Sir, I'm sure I have one final question. I see the rest of my time. I apologize, gentlemen. Sir, you come off as an incredibly humble person.
I am. The Lord has blessed me.
Appreciate your time and a family man, of course, with your wife and children here in the audience. Sir, your offensive line was a mess last year. I'm sure you'll agree it wasn't up to par for you, and you were hurt, as our director mentioned here, and you didn't have a chance to scramble as you'd like to do. If that was the case, why did you force your team to pay you an exorbitant amount of money and not really contribute that.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think that's fair. I'm a quarterback in the NFL. I'm a Super Bowl champion winning quarterback, a young man. I feel as if I deserve to live and benefit off the riches. I have this beautiful family. I have, you know, beautiful teammates. I think our offensive line, those guys fought real hard last year. But then when it comes, Mr. Chairman, to my personal finances, I am one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. I have the championship hardware to prove it, and I believe that I should be compensated as such. And I miss it direct, you know, Mr. Madika, you being a Goldman Sachs guy, you understand about compensation.
Well, I think you're allowed to make as much money as possible, and I don't think anybody should condemn you for that.
Yes.
And our goal here today, before conceding the rest of the time to the director, is to restore law and order and make fantasy football great again. So, with that said,
we did talk about the offensive line. How much
I'm a big fan of your work.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Vice versa.
Yes.
The offensive line we talked about.
Those guys do a great job fighting.
How much do you feel has improved? Like, you went out and got Luke Joeckel, free agency, drafted a rookie, and you're going to take Jermaine Ifedi and slide him from right guard to right tackle. Do you feel the offensive line has improved enough?
I've never seen a group of guys work so hard than that offensive line. I mean, you're talking about a great group of guys. They get out there, they're practicing, they're getting after it, they're fighting. We're all one unit. We're one unit, and without 12s, guys like you. We're all the same. We're out there fighting, and that's an amazing bunch right there, and they're going to have a big-time season this year. I can't wait to get out there on the field with those guys.
Last question for you.
Oh, we can go all day, Mr. Director.
We only have a few minutes. Last question for you. To your detractors who say that, you know, the whole teacher's pet, things like that, what didn't you take your teammates after you lost the Super Bowl, like, spend to have all of them to go on a trip to Hawaii?
I love hanging
on
out.
You.
I love hanging out with those guys.
Yeah,
I love
not
doing
really on you.
I love
it
doing.
Was. Yeah, it was.
He got free tickets and gave them to his teammates.
He paid for all the other accommodations and everything.
And you're right, Mr. Director. Yeah. I'm glad you know the story. Yeah.
Mr. Wilson, real quick. How great is Doug Baldwin?
Doug Baldwin's one of my best friends. All 52 of those other guys on that team, me and those guys are like this. I love those guys. I'm so blessed and thankful.
Were you like that with Percy Harvin?
Me and Mr. Harvin had differences, but that's in the past now. You know, Jesus Christ has allowed us to move past that, and we want to keep going in that way.
I can't deal with this crap anymore. That's it. We're done.
Obstructing.
Obstruction. I'm obstructing this too. We are done. The Roto Experts Fantasy Football Oversight Committee is through. Coming up next, Old School Fantasy. Corey Parson returns, Matt Modica, and George Kurtz. For Russell Wilson and Keenan Allen and all the other guys, Scott Engel, our chairman, I'm Greg Sussman. Have a fantastic rest of your Thursday.